This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
To WorldCast number 10, which is, if you're following along on the network, which is World Class Championship Wrestling, episode 18, April 24th, 1982. And stuff. I'm with Johnny and I'm with Kelly. Kelly, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man.
Johnny, what about
I'm
you?
I'm doing good.
Man, you know, right now we open up here and this crowd feels much hotter on this episode. And you can definitely feel like the Mickey Grant fingerprints of maybe of how he thought wrestling should be shot and stuff, and his influence. It seems like he's becoming more and more of a power player in the company. Do you know much about him, Kelly?
I don't know his background, really. I know he was like the producer for Continental Productions, that I guess was a reasonably big TV producer in the Texas area. I'm not sure how wide the scope was. Yeah, and he was, I guess, hired by Fritz to come on board, or maybe it was by the TV station themselves, I guess. And then he had a vision. You know, it's sometimes good to have these outside people come into wrestling and have like a different look, right? Because you get stuck in the bubble and you don't want to change. And then you get somebody from outside with some new ideas and fresh ideas. And I think that's what he brought to the table. Updated production is what the promotion desperately needed, because they were so stuck in the 70s. And immediately we've seen the better lighting, the better camera angles, the better just overall look and feel for the show. Even the
updating and the opening. You know?
Yeah. Even like a small thing like that, like the theme. I'm not sure if that was his idea, but the theme is better. It's you know, the iconic one we all know and love. And yeah, I mean, for me, I was watching the Heroes of World Class documentary from about 10 years back, where I got the whole story, and Mickey Grant is featured prominently on that documentary. So that's basically my knowledge of him is from that. Pete, do you have anything else about him?
Yeah, I mean, I know from the Gary Hart book, I always got a kick out of it, was how Gary Hart would kayfabe the production people, but would like still have to tell what was going on, so it was like almost like a mixed bag, and it's so weird how, you know, back then everything was so kayfabed and stuff. I know he passed away, I think, last year or the year before, recently.
Yeah.
His last documentary, I think, for wrestling was a Chris Adams documentary that actually you can watch on the High Spots Network if anyone's interested. Which you know, really depressing and interesting though.
Okay, I just have one.
But yeah, he was, you know, instrumental in changing the look and making, you know, World Class a real player, like one of the elite promotions on just presentation and the way things would look. I mean, stuff they do today, they still do because of World Class, like getting in the ring, getting right up. I mean, wrestlers had to learn to call spots a lot quicker. Not quicker, but a lot more hidden because the cameras were up close. kind of like how when High Def was coming in,
yeah.
They had to learn how to call their spots and stuff because of the high definition and stuff. So he was a guy who changed the game in a big way all across these things, because then everybody started doing a lot. Not everyone, but, you know, after the years passed on, they realized what a hot ticket this thing was. And kind of changed the whole entire landscape of the wrestling. I mean, the guy just really doesn't get enough due. But, I mean, obviously in that world-class doc, he definitely got his due.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
The only thing I want to add, because that's great, man. That was great, guys. I was interested in that, and I didn't know all that. But what you said, who the fuck kayfabes the production people?
Well, hell, WCW, we used to kayfabe the announcers, not tell them what the hell was happening all the way till the.
Well, that's from disorganization and the decision to try to make it seem more hectic. That was one of Bischoff's things. But I'm like, the guys shooting the cameras and what they got to do, you know, Klondike Bill was in on it, you know? filming that stuff, you know, having Gary Hart having to kayfabe. The production guys what a headache.
Book, I haven't read the book in like forever, mm-hmm. but it was like to the point where he would send like one of his guys down and have them explain it to him. And then he eventually it was him kayfabing Fritz, and then the whole entire production people.
Oh, I gotcha.
Fritz thought they were not in on it because Gary thought they were part of the thing. They were
okay.
The inner circle. They needed
to know. Okay, there you go then.
Type of thing. But Fritz didn't want him to. I think that's that was the long, mm. the long con.
So once again, Gary Hart to the rescue.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what else could have been a mess back then? Oh, geez. But hey, man, let's get into the show proper. And we get an Armand Hussein interview. Right off the bat, Johnny, mm-hmm. what do you think about
this? Well, first, the graphic for Mark Lorenz's name is Mark Lorenz. And I'm sorry, and he's so he can't tie his tie, as eventually Hussein points out to him, you know, and he just looks like this is his third shift and they can't even get his name right, you know. I felt bad for the guy. But the main thing about Hussein's promo is the point of this. Now they got that satellite deal. That's when World Class suddenly was being seen all over the world on some satellite deal. And Hussein puts over the satellite. He's like, only this show that reaches all over the world via that satellite deal, then we present to you the finest, blah, blah, blah. I was like, that's good. That's canny. You know, that's all I really took out of his promo. He's like, it's Hussein. He's like, every now, as we'll see through this, when Hussein is trying to be the foreign smart guy, he's awful. But when he just starts going, and all I want is money, honey, he's good. You know, but the two mixed together, it's literally a mixed bag.
It really is. Yeah, and you're right about the promo. I mean, he puts over the satellite. They're going worldwide. I mean, this is almost like the heels putting over a Bill Watts comeback in Mid-South type of thing.
Well, he's proud to be part of it.
Yeah, or this is like Hulk Hogan, the immortal Hulk Hogan, where they just, or Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler in the history of the WWF type of spin this guy's putting on the worldwide, really putting it over. Mm-hmm. What were your takeaways, Kelly, on the
program? I just kind of made a note of the ringside camera, and because it was the promo was done at ringside, like up close, it was a new look. And a fresh look again, better than the, you know, the typical one camera or like the standing camera with the crowd in the background, that kind of boring look. This, you know, just made things look fresh and
it wasn't a stationary
camera. Yeah.
They had the hand cams, honestly, they're stationed. I mean, in the WWE, that's how indies are shot. Mm-hmm. 90% of it, mm-hmm. you know, is the hand cams and stuff. I mean, it's amazing. Something they started doing in 1982 is still prevalent in 2017.
Yeah. Know? No, Vince Jr. took a lot from this style of production. Totally.
Yeah. Just totally polished it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That leads us to Armand Hussein versus Sal Olivares, Kelly, man. What was What was this all about?
Oh, geez. Well, Alvarez is the mystery man that I haven't been able to crack yet. Haven't been able to figure out much about him. I don't think I ever will. Again, I made notes about the improved production. Like, it's so on display here. Alvarez, well, he's very hairy. Kind of like a 70s porn star look, basically. Top to bottom body hair. But this was a long, you know, competitive match. Nothing special. Just another typical world-class match here. How did Hussein win? With he pulled him up. Hussein had him pinned, and he pulled him up what, twice, and then finally on the third attempt, he just let him, or he just pinned him. It was pretty lame finish. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a kick out of this because it was clearly the heat was we hate black people heat from the crowd.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what I was getting from. Oh boy!
And then you see Aunt Esther from Sanford's Son in the front row yelling, and I thought we were gonna have like a race riot here because of what's going on.
She was probably booing him too.
On top of it all, Hussein is doing the, you know, picking up and, you know, counting the two type of thing and not pinning him, and saying he doesn't like Mexicans.
He said, "I kill the Mexican."
I mean,
he yells, I kill the Mexican. It's nuts.
I mean, this wasn't good heat in a way. You know? Not in a way, it wasn't good heat. This is what Jim Cornette was envisioning when he had the gangsters and Smokey Mountain, you know? And he wanted this type of heat. This was nuts. What were you thinking?
Well, Salvador is from Mexico via Italy, apparently, because he's just this big, hairy, Italian-looking guy named Salvador.
Yeah.
and then there's the camel walk bullshit. And oh, yeah, I'm going to save that for last. And fucking David Manning with the – I always hate it when referees, like, assert their authority by pushing – or anything. The first time I ever saw Tommy Young kick a heel's hand off of the rope, I was like, what the fuck you? What the fuck's this shit? You know, I hate it. And David Mann does it twice here where, you know, he pushes Hussein off the ropes and some shit, and to where Lorenz has to be like, well, David Manning must feel that that's the only way he can get through to him. I'm like, no. I hate that shit. And the curly boots, and he still calls them the rhino nose boots. And I'm just like, it's a horn. If you say rhino horn shoes, then it's not the nose, it's the horn. But the one thing that just had me cracking up, because this match was terrible, terrible. But what had me cracking up was apparently Hussein's favorite thing to say during his matches is no, 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 no to everything. Whether he's, are you cheating? No, no, no. If he's in a hold, do you give up? It's over and over and over again until all I could think of was someone out there with far better skills than I could possibly have needs to make us a drop of the Amy Winehouse rehab song. And when it's, you know, they try to go to rehab and drop in some Hussein's going, no, no, no. And you will be my hero. But I had to entertain myself with that because this match was awful.
Now, then the million-dollar question, Johnny. Everyone wants to know, who do you hate more, Manning or Dick Worley?
Okay, you know what? It's a strange...
It might not be $1 million question. It might be a $10.
No, I don't. Please, I appreciate your original estimate. I'd have to give it some thought because I'm new to David Manning hate right now. Because like I said, I was like, I used to always be like, what's the problem? I didn't remember, and I didn't see this stuff, and it's infuriating. It's terrible, and.
Well, wait till you get the vignettes of him like riding at the fire with Iceman Parsons in the
Are you kidding me? Oh, for God's sakes. So it's hard to say. It's like when I was a little kid, I loved Dick Worley. I was really into Dick Worley as a kid, and then when I got older, I realized that he was terrible. So I don't know. I have enough hate in my heart for both men. How's that?
There we go. All right, so you're gonna go hit the Mendoza line there. Ugh. Walk that line, you freaking. All right. That leads us to Bugsy McGraw versus Raul Castro. Kelly, man, we're all getting on an 0-for-2 pace here.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong? Does this match light your
butt? Oh no. It's interesting because Castro is, I guess, the babyface, which is progressive in 1982 for a Cuban heel named after the brother of the dictator of Cuba. Yeah, wearing a mask. I don't know what he's hiding exactly.
That's the thing. I'm like, why does the guy who has a name wear a mask?
I don't know. It's just...
And then I think next week, doesn't he work next week and he does not have a mask? That's
back,
Zapata. My bad.
Back to Zapata.
It's easy to get him like stuff with El Castro and the gimmick.
God. It's just a squash match. Castro got a little bit of offense, but yeah, this was just to make Bugsy look good.
So explain this to me. Zapata wears the hat at the home militia here, right? Well, Raul Castro seems like that should do, right? Should wear the gimmick.
Oh, yeah, or maybe they should switch names.
Yeah.
Or no, if you actually have a guy who looks like Raul Castro, called Raul Castro, that could be a problem.
Terrible. Johnny.
Well, Mark Lawrence fat shames fucking Bugsy McGraw about his half shirt. Because Bugsy's wearing a half shirt, and Mark Lawrence points it out. He's like, oh, Bugsy's in his half shirt, but, you know, he doesn't look like the. Some say he's trying to look like the Von Erichs when they wear them. But he doesn't look as great and stunning as the Von Erichs. I'm just like, oh, fuck you. that's too much. And I love Bugsy's I love Bugsy's curly shuffle that he does in the middle of the match. I figured out he pats his head and spins around. He's doing curly.
Yeah, no, that's the take I got. Yeah. Like, clearly he's influenced by...
That's all curly, man. I love that he does the splash, but if they ever, I think Lorenz called it a leaping splash. There was no leaping involved in Bugsy McGraw's splash. Bugsy just gets up there and falls on people. He doesn't. He is the flight path of a couch. to this.
Yeah, there really wasn't much. I'm with you on the curly. And I actually thought Castro tried to keep it fun for.
Oh yeah, it was okay.
It was an uphill battle. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this was no Mac Longlock classic on the network.
It was a squat. Squash match.
Right. Then we get Caribou and Eric and Al Madrill interview there, John.
Oh yeah.
Wow. I mean, Carrie's just absolutely terrible on the stick. And when you have Al Madrill having to carry the promo side, you're in trouble. What's happening here?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Well, first, this is the first I've even heard that they had World Tag Team Champions in World Class. I don't recall this in any of the other shows we've watched so far.
Yeah.
Well, they made mention of it when they just never named them, but when they mentioned the champions when it was what's his name, Dick Murdoch's cousin and some.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Sam Brooks and
Killer Tim Brooks. Yes,
Hussein, I think maybe.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. So Kerry is just babbling. He's mush-mouthed, babbling. He's fucked up. Kerry's fucked up here. And he's asking, Lorenz is asking about it, but, you know, how do you feel about tagging with Al Madrill? And he's like, well, You know, it's great because when I'm coming out in the rocking and the rolling and I'm feeling it, oh, he's like, Al, and when I might do something. Al calms me down. I'm like, what the fuck? we were rocking, rolling. And, oh, my God. And Al Madrill, at the end of the shit, Al Madrill just bursts into the shit-eating grin. He must have thought they said cut early because he's keeping it together. But at the end of this, he can't keep it together anymore. Carrie's fucking, you got to see this.
Yeah.
this is Jimmy Snuka levels of incoherence.
Yeah, you know, I've always said Carrie reminds me of Vinnie Barbarino. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like Carrie's pretty much doing the what? What? You know? I mean, it's fucking horrible. Part of my F-bomb, but damn it, Carrie, I'm going to bitch at you from the grave, man. You're freaking killing me here. Kelly, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it unfold over the weeks, but this topped it all. Where he can't even pull off like a high five or a handshake that he was trying to attempt there. And everything was just awkward about this. And yeah, you can't let Carrie talk at this point. Cause he's on another planet. Madrill, God bless him. Good old Al. He can just bring it back down to Earth and actually, deliver the lines or whatever, get the point across. Where Carrie is just,
he's a
total pro. Carrie is just totally lost. Ben doesn't even care that he's lost.
and he's positioned as the top guy in the
group. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there's more than being a top guy than having a great look and having good matches.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to talk, especially in the 1980s. I mean, even. These are probably reasons why they never gave him a big. I mean, obviously they didn't trust him with the belt, but he also couldn't cut a world title or world champion promos going into territories.
Mm-hmm.
No, hell no.
Terrible. And you know what? And I mean, this kind of sponges off to like, they always thought David was the guy, and you probably think about it, David could cut a coherent promo, and could go in and actually play a heel. As an NWA champion, so I can actually see that talking point on maybe in the NWA's where he was the blue chip on air, but clearly Kerry's positioned here in the territory as the top guy. Am I right, Kelly?
Oh yeah, I mean, he's super over. The crowd loves him. He's got a great look. At the time, his look was cutting edge. Very few people had a body like that in wrestling at the time. And he would be, copied by a lot of guys going forward. David was more of a traditional pro wrestler. He could play face heel. He could cut promos.
Had more of the tools.
Yeah, he had the tools. But I mean, in the 80s, you could, the 80s rewarded the Kerry Von Erichs of the world. Because he had a great body and he was just like a superhero come to life, and that's what the 80s
were all about. When you had the Freebirds come in, they could handle the promo side of it, of the feud, and all that stuff.
I'm sorry.
And then he'd have his dad come in, get promos for him. Can you imagine Greg having Vern cut his promos for him? I mean, how people would really hate that guy?
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Where he's feeling about this character?
Well, first of all, I'm going to apologize for the shrieking bark of my dog just made. I'm sure if everyone jumped hearing that. But I was suggesting that I wanted to talk about this a little bit. On the next show, and what you said is like you read my mind. What I was going to talk about, because we've been saying, well, it looks like Carrie's the chosen guy according to this TV show, and yeah, but who's out there going territory to territory, playing both babyface and heel, and making those connections out there? That's David. So, and it's hilarious because you just brought up, I'm going, that's what I was going to talk about. So that was awesome, man. It's exactly right.
I try.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlacetoBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacetoBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryWrestling.com, and Scott Keats Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacetoBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And then we go back to reality here, and we're dealing with a Richard Blood versus Bill Irwin. Kelly,
hey.
Oh gosh. Go on.
We've probably seen these two wrestle each other already. I mean, there's only about a dozen guys in the territory, it seems, maybe 15. We just keep getting.
I mean, when you think about it, though, that's how you keep a budget and how you.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they weren't spending a lot of money on talent. That's for sure.
Yeah.
God.
And I wasn't even. It just wasn't even that. There was people didn't want to go there.
Yeah. Exactly. It was. It hadn't been a hotbed. It never had that history to it. So yeah, it was a tough place to. To get talent to come.
It hadn't been hot since like Wahoo and Fritz was there and Johnny Valentine. I mean, it's been a while, man.
Yeah, exactly. But watching this week after week, I mean, I said it before, I mean, at least the crowd is entertained, it seems. They haven't turned on seeing the same dudes week in, week out. They're entertained.
Probably because they're offering 10-cent beer.
Yeah, maybe. There must be some incentive.
I know they used to run these ridiculous beer specials at the Sportatorium all the time.
Really? That's cool.
When they were dying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they had them here.
Yeah. We had decent action in this match. Blood, he's a good babyface, and the fans do like him a lot. but we've gone over.
You think good is the right word, Kelly? Passable.
No, I think good is. I think so. I've come to like Richard Blood. Compared to a lot of the talent we've seen.
Oh, okay, yeah. If we're on a bell curve.
But I mean, yeah, he's good. I mean, he gets it. He's got good fire. He's just too tiny. He's too small. We've gone over that before. Irwin is hated, for sure. Of course, we know that. And yeah, it was an okay little match. Irwin's got the Bruiser Brody running knee drop as his finish. I guess that's a pretty big deal here. And well, that's actually he alludes that to that. I guess it's a post-match interview where he says he learned it from someone who's been in the business for a long time. Wink, wink. Mm-hmm. He doesn't drop the name, but it's obvious that it was Brody. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it wasn't that obvious.
Yeah, I was taking it was his brother.
Oh, really? I don't know. When I see that move, I just always think of Bruiser Brody.
I thought he was just making some shit up because he stinks on the mic.
Yeah, I could be totally wrong, but I don't know. I just immediately I thought it was Brody.
I can buy into that. I can buy into that hypothesis.
Okay, that's good.
Johnny, what did you make?
Well, first of all, apparently no more chunk.
I said mess. I meant mess.
Well, you know, I'm gonna get to that because I'm gonna surprise you here. But first of all, apparently no more Chauncey. There's no Chauncey chance. The Mark Lawrence didn't talk about fucking Chauncey. Blood, I noticed, has a snazzy fringe jacket now because, you know, he's making a little more coin being that mid-card baby face. And there's a kid they keep showing a shot of him. He's got a white shirt on and a cowboy hat, and he's always angry. He's always pissed off. Even when he's cheering for a guy, it's an he has this look of anger on his face. They cut to him like three times. For some reason, Las Vegas comes up, and Lorenzo, Las Vegas, Nevada, like the land of casinos, money, and beautiful ladies. And I'm like, okay, and sin, but. I kind of liked this match. I really kind of liked this match. And I'll tell you why. Because I went into it's not a great match, but I'm watching this. And so what am I going to look for? And I watched Wild Bill Irwin call this entire match. I've not seen his lips move or nothing, but knowing who's making these decisions based on, you know, breaking down the scientifics of it in the performance. And I was like, well, Bill Irwin could put together a fine little wrestling match because he's putting together a fine little wrestling match. And Richard Blood is up to the task to be led along. Mm-hmm. And I found myself enjoying it. So, I was as surprised as you are.
Yes, my take always on Irwin. He's the guy who... He didn't have many stinkers, but he didn't have many great matches. But he's a guy who always had passable matches where you didn't want to throw up or, you know, fire the guy.
I was just listening to Austin's podcast with Raven, and Raven put him over huge. So, you know.
Really? Cool.
That's interesting. And then we get an Irwin interview, Johnny. What was he?
Oh God, who knows?
I'm sure it was about cow patties, and I'm sure he's pushing his feud with Dude.
He's always having to make the point that he doesn't have a manager anymore, and it's all he's got. And then he's not good on the mic. You know, it's just a lot of, I'm going to do this and that, and I don't have a manager, and nothing is really connected all that well. He's just not good at it. He'll get better. But at least, like, when him and his brother would cut those wild promos as the Long Riders, I remember liking those. So, but this was not good. But I guess he says something about how great he is, and he leaves. And Mark Lawrence says, Well, modest isn't one of the words you would use to describe a Wild Bill Irwin. And then he gets this little glint of joy in his eye and a little smile because he knows he just knocked one out of the park.
Any thoughts on the promo?
I already said it where he alluded to someone in the business who taught him the running knee drop.
Okay. Then we get this next match, which I kind of enjoyed.
Oh, me too.
But I had some interesting weird things about it. But Kerry and Black Gordman, what do you make of it, Kerry?
Yeah, this was a good match. Black Gordman, clearly a pretty top heel, top working heel. I mean, he's past his prime now, but you can see and you can tell that he was pretty good in his prime, and he's pretty good. He's still pretty good here. They've been talking about Kerry and the rock music quite a bit, but we still haven't seen a musical entrance for Kerry or really anybody yet, I don't think.
I think a lot of it's because they cut the music because of musical rights.
I didn't consider that.
I think it might, instead of replacing everything, they might have just cut all the entrances.
Yeah, damn. Now that you've put that seed in my mind, I'm thinking what it's going to be like going forward when...
Yeah. Oh, jeez, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, there's going to be some horrendous dub jobs coming up probably. Yeah. Oh well, something to look forward to.
You can't blame that shit on
Big Rush. There's nothing better.
You can't blame that shit on Vince though, because if he could, he would. You know, but you got to pay that shit costs big time money. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand why, but yeah.
I hate it.
I hate it. Totally hate it.
But that's kind of like almost like what do you, I'm with you. Like, I'd rather have the music, but man, I think I'd rather have the quality of everything else. This like this music,
It's just gonna be.
If I had to take the choice.
It's gonna get down to just certain people, though, not everybody. There's certain people. Like, I don't need to hear Tom Sawyer every time. I don't need to hear Stranglehold every time. But the Freebirds is kind of important.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they dub in for that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's certain people are just, their acts are almost like, I mean, not just this company, but you look at that, you like the Road Warriors are always, their theme is important.
Yeah. Jimmy Garvin, he was coming.
Yeah, especially this is the 80s. This was the era of real music in wrestling. And yeah, oh well. Sorry that I brought that up. Major downer. We're canceling the podcast. That's it. There's no point going forward.
Do you think maybe the production guys will get a bad Ray Charles imitator to do, because the Birds didn't always come out to Freebird. They came out to JoJo on my mind a few times.
Mean Gene Okerlund singing Georgia.
Georgia on my mind.
Jimmy Hart and his back.
Right, the gentry.
Coco, we get some Coco Blue air.
Hey, well, Coco needs some money, man. So, come on, I wouldn't begrudge Coco a paycheck. I love Coco.
Oh my God.
Well, we digress. About the match.
Also had a rabid hot crowd for this match, chanting, "We want the claw, we want the claw." We got the stomach claw, and I thought it was over at that point. Because the claw, it's how do you get out of that? But no, we got a competitive match.
Kelly, I'm sorry. He was so stoned, he didn't realize. You got to put it on his head.
that's how the stomach claw was invented. Yeah. He was so fucked up, he was supposed to hook it on the head.
Yeah. This is the first competitive match we've seen with Kerry involved. I think all his previous matches were pretty much squashes in 1 minute, so...
Kabuki.
Oh, yeah, Kabuki, right. I forgot about that one. I really liked Gordman selling throughout. It was great. And Sunset Flip by Kerry gets the win. Yeah, definitely match of the show.
Yeah, that was a really good match. I like Kerry has a nice knee drop. Gordman's facials are fantastic here. And Gorman throws these nasty elbows to Carrie's nose that look just absolutely wicked. One thing, though, I mean, it's a fun match, but my gosh, should Carrie be winning with just a sunset flip? Your number one babyface against Black Gorman, who at best is the number five heel in the company, maybe fourth heel. It felt like he should have been winning with the claw or like the discus punch,
right,
or something. You
have a very good point, but the way I felt, because I noticed that too, and the way my mind reacted to it was that showing respect to Black Gorman because it's a desperation sunset flip. I was just thinking that meant, oh, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. Number five heel. But my mind went to, because I like Black Gorman, so my mind immediately meant to, it's a show of respect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Gorman was being respected, you know, someone who had a lengthy career. They weren't going to job him out totally in that fashion, I don't think.
And, I mean, Annie was making Carrie look like a...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any other thoughts about it?
At one point, Blackie's giving him a nerve hold, you know, shoulder nerve hold. And Carrie's facial selling of this looks more like he's getting a deep massage. Just like, it just makes you think Blackie Gorman with his gorgeous hair. Mm-hmm. Just like really getting into it. It's like, oh, senor, you seem so tense. There's a lot of pressure, Blackie. But then speaking of Blackie, when he takes the fucking discus punch, he does a slow spit take. It's like the old, you know, get punched, they spit, make it look like it's a tooth or something, and it usually flies out. He does it, and it comes out of his mouth slowly and dramatically the way he's falling. And I was like, that's fantastic. he's amazing. I thought that's basically the second half of this match was awesome. The first half was kind of in and out, but when they turned it on, like halfway through, because the stomach claw we were making fun of, but then Carrie fucking lifted him up over his head
while
still applying the claw. That's pretty cool, man. Mm-hmm.
Real cool.
Yeah. So I totally dug it. That second half of this match I thought was a ton of fun. Blackie Gorman made Carrie Von Erich look like you guys said, $1 million.
Did we get another Wild Bill?
Yes, we did. Because you can't get enough Wild Bill Irwin on this show.
and we get Bundy and Hussein. We talked about
that. Oh, well, Irwin's got his bandana around his over his like nose and mouth like an old timey outlaw. So I'm immediately going, what's this? And he says something. And he rips it down. He's like, because people say that I stole the title. I didn't steal it. And he points at the bandana to be like, get it? I stole. Get it? I'm like, oh, it's awful. It's awful. And again, he's like, and remember, da, 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 I don't have a manager. So why were there two of these?
I don't know.
Oh, and Hussein, this is when Hussein is talking to Mark Lorenz, and he does get look at him, because Hussein, say what you will, again, he's a dapper man, he's a well-dressed man, he looks good on TV when he's in his suits, and Lorenz looks like an unmade bed, and he points it out to him, look at you, Mark Lorenz, you know, look at you, though, you're appearance, you're on satellite television, shape up, yeah, you better listen to the man, and again, why two? It was so weird. But King Kong Bundy, I will say, he gave a great promo. And I noticed King Kong Bundy with hair is quite a handsome man. He's pretty good.
Handsome?
Yeah, he's a good-looking dude. He has a nice profile. He has a nice head of hair, nice profile. He's a good-looking guy.
I could buy into a nice profile. I don't know about handsome man. Yeah,
that's a handsome man. The thing is, that character doesn't work as a handsome man.
Yeah, he is. He's too cutesy with the hair. Yeah, I mean,
obviously the gimmick worked because once he got the hair off, he kept it.
Yeah.
He never grew it back. So obviously, the no hair definitely worked better for him and probably made him more money. I'm with Johnny. I liked his promo. What about you, Kelly? I mean, I'm there wasn't a whole hell of a lot here, but I enjoyed Bundy a lot. He was intimidating on his promo.
Well, he continues his obsession with money. That's the one thread that we've seen from the beginning. He's all about the money. That's what he lives for. So that was my note from this promo. Bundy likes the dollars.
Yeah, and then we get to the main event of Bundy versus the Spoiler. I thought there was another good one. Mm-hmm. How about you, Kelly?
Yeah, it was a good slugfest. Before the bell, they started slugging at each other, and the crowd was red hot for this one. The crowd was really hot for the whole show. This was one of the better top-to-bottom shows we've seen, actually. The Spoiler...
When you say top-to-bottom, I think bottom has been strong.
I mean, we don't have... The one with the Lothario Bugsy brawl is about the only other contender so far.
Oh, this is clearly the best show yet we've watched.
I think so. The Spoiler is he's been a good addition to the roster because he's a badass, believable as a badass, kicking Bundy's ass. Bundy was going for his mask the whole time, tore it up a little bit, and finally the referee DQ'd Bundy, I guess, for refusing to break the count. And then we had another slugfest. And yeah, it left you wanting to see more between these two, which was the intention completely, because I'm sure this would be a big match to put on one of the more meaningful cards that they were running in the area.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I legit thought this was a legit three-star match. I like Bundy attacking Spoiler early and Spoiler fighting back. Spoiler, he's a guy who's great at using those leverage rope spots, and we see him here using them. Big time fight feel here. Undertaker, definitely, totally you can see the Spoiler is the Undertaker almost, in a way. Spoiler and Gary Hart are great friends, and I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Hart here, he's trying to get a brought Spoiler back to get Bundy over,
Oh, yeah, big time.
And because, this is Spoiler, one of his last runs. I know he does a little bit of business in the WWF, I think, in 83 or so. But, yeah, this is like one of the Spoiler's last big runs.
Mm-hmm.
Why put over some young talent to get ready for a territory that he was pretty much, I don't want to say synonymous with, but definitely one of the territories he was most famous for. Is world class in Texas.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a really fun, just a good give and take brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Bundy was good in it. I thought Spoiler looked good. And yeah, it's definitely like you just said, man. I want to see these guys in a match. Seems like they could do a bunch of different stuff, including some stiffs like cages or last man standing or what have you with different finishes. I thought it was good stuff. What about you, John?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Minnelli, though. His introduction of the Spoiler couldn't be less enthusiastic. He's just like introducing from Mongolia the Spoiler. And I was like, yeah, dude. It's the Spoiler. And then, Bundy attacks, during the announcements, and sends him a running, and everything's going, and Mark Lawrence is talking, and then you just hear, and you hear the microphone, away from him, they're pulling the microphone away from Minnelli, and he's like, no, and he's like, and from da-da-da-da, King Kong, I'm
still getting
amazed. Yeah, because when you hire Joe fucking Minnelli, you get all of fucking Joe Minnelli. You get every dollar. they can't live without all the Minnelli. And the match is great. It's fantastic, like you guys said. It's so funny. I was never a huge Spoiler fan, I'd come to appreciate him from the Houston footage. But I was never a big Spoiler fan. But I'm a huge fan of Babyface Spoiler. I've never seen this before. I've never seen him work Babyface. And I'm digging it, man. He's a fun, tough Babyface.
He's good.
I prefer this. I'm like, yeah, this is better. You got Hussein with his very stilted instructions to King Kong Bundy. He goes, "You can't lose the match. It is essential that you win." Like, that's a real Newt Rockne type pep talk there. Holy shit. But then again, mixed bags. Later on, he's yelling at the spoiler about what he's going to do to him. And he says, he's like, "Look, when I am done with you, I'll have you taking out welfare." I'm like, "Oh, that's good. That's great." Just pick a character, man, and don't pick the foreign guy. Go just be yourself. And holy shit, did you guys realize what great camera shots they have of everything? Because Mark Lorenz sure likes to tell you. He never stops talking about what great camera shots we have here. This is all these cameras. I mean, it's fine if you do it once. He does it continuously to the point.
Probably because Fritz isn't giving him any guidance. It's probably Mickey Grant putting over.
Oh, no. Or that's fucking Fritz saying, "You fucking mentioned that this shit." But it's like overkill, you know. But I'm just like, holy shit, he just never stops. And then afterwards, you know, and again, match is awesome. The finish is chaotic. The Rip mask looks great. He cuts a fucking promo on Bundy. It's fucking good. And this one cop who walks by breaking things up, and it's just this old cop, and he's got a big fucking cigar. Yeah, cigar. He's like, yeah, move along. We're smoking a big fucking stogie. I immediately fell in love with that guy. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, you're right. Spoiler did finish it up with a good promo.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
Makes you look more to the feud. What did you make of the promo, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, he's like I said, he's a badass. He's here to restore some order to world class, you know, and atone for all his sins in the past, I guess. And yeah, I'm hoping we get to see quite a bit more of the spoiler.
I love that type of character, the guy who was a villain, who mm-hmm. comes back to the territory at this point and is now a good guy for the redemption story, like you said, against some new young gunslinger. You know, that's one of my favorite things in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's an effective promo. Makes you want to see more of this feud going forward. And so, so far with the spoiler, he gets high marks for me. Kelly, man, anything we're going to end it here? Or anything you want to pull up? Well, first let's talk about the show overall. I'd have to say this is probably either the best or the second best show we've seen so far. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the only other one that comes to mind is the one with the Lothario Bugsy brawl. This one was good top to bottom. The crowd was hot throughout, and we had actual good matches, multiple good matches, which I don't think we've had before.
Well,
that's just it. The only one I can think of is Bugsy match, and that's one match, and that made that the best show. This had a lot of good matches. Like, I tell you, even the Virtual Blood match, I'm like, I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the carry match was good, and the fucking spoiler Bundy was actively great. You know, so definitely.
All right, man. Let's end it here. Johnny, do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
All right, Kelly Nelson, anything you want to plug?
I've been trying to record the second part of the Mount Olympus with Richard Lenn, where we talk about Unreleased, but real life's gotten in the way a couple times. Hopefully in the coming weeks it'll finally see the light of day. But other than that, yeah, Place to Be Nation. I will be back on that podcast, the Place to Be podcast, talking about Madison Square Garden, WWF, 1987.
Sounds cool. Check me out at Titans O' Wrestling and hear about all my adventures on CWF Mid-Atlantic. I went on last week, taped a bunch of audio for it. Honestly, ton of audio. So if you're interested in hearing about the promotion, man, check it out. On that note, everybody, have a great week.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you. A storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.